praise God. Welcome to Revival Today. Today's message is evict every idol on your heart. I pray that you enjoy the word of God. Bless you. It's like you mean it. Come on, somebody. Give God some praise. Stand up. Just give him some praise. Don't worry about who's not here. Give God some praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Amen. He has you here for a reason. Like I said, I know that the anointing of God is going to fall on you, and the mighty power of God is going to have its way in your life today. But you're here by appointment this morning. The word that God has placed in my heart is evict every idol on your heart. Look at somebody, say evict every idol on your heart. I'm going to share this word of God this morning because I want to talk to you about what it is to evict something. Some of you young people don't know what it is when you hear the word evict. Evict means you got to get out. I want you to evict every idol that's on your heart. When God gave me this message, he made it clear. He wants us as a people of God to know how to get intimate with him again. And the way to get intimate with him again is to know that your life means something to him. But we're holding too much on our heart. We have things that we have given authority to over our life. We have allowed these things to have control of us and take us out of the will of God. And we begin to say to the Lord, we say, Lord, why is it that I can't stand on my own anymore? Why is it that I can't really walk in my blessing? It's because there's something in your heart, on your heart, that you have idolized and put before God. And because you have done that, you have held yourself down from receiving the blessings that God has for you. The Bible says that God is a jealous God. Now, when you think of the word jealous, you don't understand to have God be jealous with you. That's trouble. That's trouble. This is why we're sick. This is why we're going through in our life. And this is why we're living in the last days. If you turn me to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, 1, I'm going to set this up. A lot of us are saying to ourselves, why are these things happening to me? Some of us have been praying in the midnight hour, crying out, saying, God, why is this happening to me? Why am I not feeling love anymore? Why is my heart hardened? Why am I sick? Why? I want to teach you how to have a progressive life. Turn to someone, a progressive life. Progress means to go forward. I want to show you how to finally live in victory. You cannot live in victory looking around at somebody else and saying, this is why I don't serve the Lord. You cannot have a progressive life when you have not chosen to set the idols aside, the things that you place on your heart, over God. Church, I'm going to show you how to finally be able to get your praise on. We can't get our praise on because we're serving other gods. I'm going to let you see. People are lovers of themselves more than God now. We're living in a time where people are saying it doesn't feel right anymore. But the scripture says, but mark this, there will be troubled times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves and of money and boastful and proud. This is NIV. Abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, ungodly, and without love. Unforgiving. Somebody say unforgiving. You know that unforgiveness can be an idol because you allow something to get in your heart and you served it. These are the signs of the last day. And I want to show you what God is showing me. It says without love, unforgiveness, slanderous. You know, slanderous is somebody running around telling a bunch of lies. He said, this is how you can know we're living in the last days. The church is playing games, and you're seeing even from the White House where we're being slanderous and lying all the time. And we as a church don't see that this is the last day. The young people are living out in their life not knowing Christ because we put God's in their life and started teaching them everything but God. And we wonder why our kids can't cope. Our kids are feeling loneliness in their heart, and it's because we haven't taught them how to serve God and love God and allow God to be in their life and to do something for them and bring them through their problems. And right here it says, henceforth, it says treacherous. It says here, what does it say there? Traitors. And what else? Headstrong. See, this is what lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I'm going somewhere with this message. I got a word for you today. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So, we wonder why the church can't grow because we come when we feel like it. We do what we feel like. That's what we have today. We wake up in the morning, I don't feel like it. I'm not going. I don't feel like it. And this is why we're not living a victorious life, because God is saying, listen, I'm not hearing you. I'm jealous. I have a problem with you right now. So we're lovers of ourselves. It says having a form of godliness, but denying the power. Somebody say a form of godliness, but denying the power. That means you just going to church to go. Just to be religious. You have a form of godliness. What are you doing when you come in the house of God? If God has given you an assignment, right now we do it like this. We come when we feel like it. If we're on a praise team, we do it when we feel like it. If we're musicians, we do it when we feel like it. No, God is saying, who am I to you? I am hearing your prayer and I'm hearing your request, but I need to know, what am I to you? I'm trying to bless you, said the Lord. I'm trying to bless your life. I'm trying to give you a progressive life. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it for mine. So I'm going to show you something. It says, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you now to turn with me to Exodus 25. This is NIV as well. It says here in the scripture, it says, you shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I am the Lord your God. I'm a jealous God. Now, this is what he says he'll do. He said, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation, those who hate me. Now, why is it that we're not seeing our children grow? It's because the parents didn't reverence God. The Bible says, he said, I'm a jealous God. How do you feel when somebody comes and takes somebody you love? Do you just sit by on the sideline, or do you get up and fight for it, or you try to put your best in to get it back? But this is not what the church is doing. The enemy is showing up in your life and he's saying, oh, by the way, you don't need to do that on Sunday anymore because, you know, why? And God is saying, I'm jealous. Somebody showing up and saying, like even with the sports, showing up and calling you up and saying, oh, you don't need to be at church on Sunday. Come and practice. And God is saying, or some of us put things on our heart that is allowing us to become bitter and angry, and we're serving that spirit. And he said, I told you that I'm going to give you life and give it to you more abundantly, but you keep on serving that spirit of hurt. Idols are what you place before God. Somebody says, what you place before God. So there are things that we're putting before God and we have not evicted it. We have not gone to that thing and said, no, you're not welcome, because my God is a God that is jealous, and I'm going to make sure that I please him because I want to have life and I want to live my life enjoying it. Remember New Year's party? We had a good time. We didn't have to get stoned. We didn't have to get drunk. We didn't have to sleep around. No, we were able to praise Jesus and have a good time in the house. Somebody said, praise God. The young people don't want to be in church because it's a form of godliness instead of being a lifestyle where they come into the house of God and see the praises of God and see the excitement about God. But no, we don't think it's necessary to raise our children with us with integrity, with the word of God. So God says, I'm going to curse your generation, third and fourth generation. That's why, parents, it's important for you to get out of religiousness and get into relationship. This church should be full all the time, but no, what we do is we say, oh, what can I put on my schedule on Sunday? The enemy knows. He knows, so he's got a plan for you. And I'm trying to tell you that God is jealous and he's not happy. How many of you want to live a progressive life? You want to live a life where somebody looks at you today and then 5 years later sees you living in victory. That's the God that I serve. He's going to take where I'm at right now and he's going to position me and place me in a higher place. But first, I got to surrender all my idols over to the Lord. Somebody give God some praise. It says, I want you to turn to Proverbs 4:23. See, today we're going to get some word and we're going to get delivered today. How many want to be delivered today? Give God some praise. I just want to get intimate with you this morning. I have room between these seats this morning so I can talk to you. It says in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Now, this is the word of God. It says, above all things, guard your heart. Why is he saying guard your heart? Because guess what? The enemy doesn't mess with you. He messes with your heart. He knows how to get to your heart and make it harden and get you to a place where you will serve that spirit that's in your heart. Some of us are so bitter that somebody did us wrong, or maybe our father or our mother wasn't there for us. But God is saying to you, you must not harden your heart, because everything flows through it. You can't be happy if you don't allow happiness to exist. But God is saying, I'm a God of life. I'm a God of joy. I'm a God that loves you, but you got to set aside your idols because your idols are stunting your growth. They're messing with your stuff. I'm going to talk to you about Ezekiel, the prophet. He was a man of God. If you turn with me to Ezekiel 14, 1 and 11, we're going to have a conversation now. Amen. Give God some praise. Hallelujah. Don't be falling asleep up in here. Let the Holy Ghost have his way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the Holy Ghost have his way. This is Ezekiel the prophet, and this is how the people of God were acting. The children of Israel began to serve other gods, and they began to put up stumbling blocks. So I'm going to talk about it. It says in 1 Ezekiel, it says, some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat down. So they came to Ezekiel. Think about it like this. The elders, those that are authority, those that should know what they're doing, they came to Ezekiel and sat down before him. So they went over to him, and this is what it says. It says, then the word of the Lord, and they sat down in front of me. So he said, these elders came and sat down in front of me. And it says, then the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, these men have set up idols in their heart and put wicked stumbling blocks before their face. Should I let them acquire of me at all? Now, this is an IV. Remember that? So Ezekiel was sitting there and he began to ask the Lord, these men of Israel, the leaders, came inquiring of me. So what they did is they came to him and said, hey, listen, we need to know something. But then the Spirit of God spoke to Ezekiel and said, they put stumbling blocks before me. So now God is talking back to him. So Ezekiel went to the Lord and said, Lord, what should I do? These men came to me. How many of you been in a position where somebody come to you? And what we do is God doesn't give a prophecy for sin. And I'm going to show you something here. This is really deep, so I need you to pay attention. Should I let them acquire of me? In the fourth verse, it says, therefore, speak to them and tell them. This is what God said. It says that this is what the sovereign Lord says. When any of the Israelites set up idols in their hearts, somebody said in their hearts, and put wicked stumbling blocks before their face, and then go to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer them myself. Uh-oh. So what this means is these men went to the prophet and they wanted to know something. What was the Lord's will? You know how we do today? We go to the prophet for something. Well, every time the prophet come in town, we want them to speak over our life. And what God said to him, he said, don't tell him nothing. I'll tell him myself. Now, this is something because we're talking about living in the last day where everybody is running from church to church, not establishing the Lord because they want to get a word from a prophet that will speak over their life rather than having a life with God. So we run to church rather than being planted. Remember this, God doesn't plant trees, he plants seeds. So that means he plants something that's supposed to be rooted. The seed that you place in your child, the things that you sow into your children. He said, I'm trying to grow them up to be victorious men and women of God for the next generation. But instead, you allow them to have idols. You allow them to serve these idols, not learn to serve God. We call, oh, pastor, well, you know, this is my child. You know, they got to be able to do this because this is what we do. And God said, don't you, how many of you want to see your third and fourth generation blessed? So if you want to see them blessed, You have to learn to place them in the master's hand and say, God is going to deal with it. Teach them how to love Jesus, and guess what? They're going to learn how to love themselves. Because I've seen kids that were one of the most popular and still committed suicide. Because at the midnight hour, when no one's around, they don't have a mother or father. They're missing something in their life. And God is saying that they don't even know. They're hearing voices, and God is trying to touch their heart. But they don't know God. Because us as parents said, no, we don't need to have them there. We need to have them on a ball team. We need to have them in this and that. But God said, remove the idols from your heart. So he told the prophet, he said, listen, I don't want you to say nothing to them. Turn around and said, don't tell them anything. Tell somebody next to you, don't tell them nothing. So when they come to you in church and they come up to you and say, oh, guess what, sister? I need you to share a word over me. Don't tell them nothing. So what he said to him, he said, therefore, speak to them. The sovereign Savior, he said at the end, he says, I, the Lord, will answer them myself in keeping with their great idolatry. Now, what is a stumbling block? Stumbling block is something you put in the way. How many of you have seen running the relay hurdle race? They put hurdles in the way. You can't run straight, can you? You got to run and then jump. So stumbling blocks is when you put something in the way. But what the scripture is saying, these guys put stuff in the way intentionally. They were receiving things into their lives intentionally. Oh, yeah, Pastor, you know, I got to have a little alcohol once in a while. You know, just a little bit. Intentionally. I got to smoke that cigarette once in a while. Don't you know that you're being an example not only for yourself, but for your children? Mothers and fathers, we're placing stumbling blocks in their lives intentionally. Young people, if you want to be greater than anyone else, you have to learn how to fly on your own. You have to see, when I came here to do this church, I couldn't sit back and say, I hope people do this. No, God said, you get up, you leave from where you're at, and you do what I tell you to do, because I'm going to do great things in your life. He said, if there's only two or three in your place, in the house, I'm still going to do mighty, mighty things. So stop crying and saying, why am I alone? And look up and see what I'm ready to do in your life. Come on, somebody, give God some praise. Because the God that we serve is a personal God. So you have to learn how to get intimate. And you, in order to get intimate, you got to have a heart to receive. And the people don't have a heart. Our heart is hardened because we have these idols all over our heart, just all in our stuff, in our way. So God is trying to get to the heart, and he can't, because, oh, the idol of sports came in. The idol of TV watching came in. The idol of hate came in. The idol of job came in. Whatever you serving, whatever you giving to God, you're not giving him it. You're giving something else your best. And you're giving God the mess. You're giving something else your best. Go ahead and tell that coach, I'm going to halfway do it. But then we give God our mess. Sunday morning, last week, we could barely get in. Now this week, you got plenty of room. This is giving him our mess sometime because we're not committed to the things of God. And God wants us to be established in him so that he become glorified. God is a jealous God. I already told you. He said, do you want me to mess up your third and fourth generation? We're not living in victory because we're not surrendering ourselves to God. How many of you want to surrender yourself to God? Amen, amen. Give God some praise. In the fifth verse, it says here, check this out. He says, I will do this to recapture the heart of the people of Israel. He said, this is what I'm going to do to recapture the heart of the people. So God is concerned about capturing your heart. He wants to capture your heart. And so he wants to capture the hearts of the people of Israel who have deserted me for their idols. Therefore, say to the people of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Repent, turn from your idols, and renounce all your detestable practices. Now, I put this as NIV. I want y'all to understand the word of God. So renounce. What does it mean to renounce? What it means to renounce is confess it. Say, listen, I'm done with this. I'm done with pornography. I'm done with the stumbling blocks I placed in my heart, in my life, because them stumbling blocks are hurting me. Or hurting my seed, hurting my next generation. I have people that was in the church and they would come to me, always had advice for me, pastor, but their kids never served the Lord. You know why? Because they're not in church today. Because something didn't go perfect for them. And so they move. So then guess what? The kids keep getting settled. And the kids keep getting settled. They make friends and they learn how to help out in the church. Then you get up because you all upset about something stupid. Now you bring them to another place and the kids begin to eat there, and then you take them out of there. And then, the kids start to say, guess what? You see what I'm saying? You can't have success. You can't be blessed when you're not teaching stability in the things of God. We have a church full of 100 prophets and nobody serving the Lord. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. The kingdom has to change because we're living in the last days. We don't even know it. And we're the church, we're the people of God. I am excited about God. You know why I get so excited? Because I'm passionate about him. I'm excited about him. I love him. I don't want to be in everybody's party. I don't want to be at everybody's stuff. I want to be before the Lord, seeking his face, finding favor with him. Give God some praise. Come on, somebody. Give God some praise. I want to be in his favor. Hallelujah. So it says here, it said that deserted me for their idols. So he said, listen, I need these people to repent and turn from their idols and renounce all of your detestable practices. That means the things you are doing just intentionally. Detestable. They're detestable to the Lord. Now, you know, the thing is this. The Bible says that our job is to watch for your soul. So if you go to a church or somewhere in fellowship and they're not trying to get you to change something, then there's a problem. I know it's great. We have great praise and worship, and we got people on the guitars and strumming everything, and that church looks like a movie theater. It looks like a show. But nobody is showing how to be Holy Ghost filled and fire baptized with the anointing of God. And they're following all kind of things, all kind of fads. Oh, I'm Pastor Cool. I got to make sure I get me a t-shirt on. I want to look like I'm going to see the King. I want to dress for success. I want to get in the presence of God because I'm going to a wedding. How many of you go to a wedding just showed up in your way? So why is it that when we come into the house of God, we barely put anything into it? See, I'm going to see the King. I'm going to see who somebody that can change my life and change my children's life, change my generational things. That's who I'm going to see. And I'm not going to go bring them just anything like some of us. How, if we all paid our tithes, don't you know what we could do in this place? I thank God for your giving, but the giving is from those that some of us have these great jobs and don't know how to tie it. We all got to do better. If you have a job, you need to sow. Remember, God don't plant trees, he plants seeds. Hallelujah. So if you don't plant the seed, you don't have no future in the financial growth in the things that God is ready to do. So you need to get with it and know that God is doing something. Said in the seventh verse, and I'm almost done. When any of the Israelites or any of the foreigners reside in Israel, separate themselves from me and set up idols in their heart and put wicked stumbling blocks before their face, then go to the prophet. Someone say, then go to the prophet. So they were setting up these idols, stumbling blocks, and then they were going to the prophet. Imagine that. So they were going to the prophet to get something told to them that's going to make them feel good. That's going to make them feel that they're okay with God. And this is what God said to them. And I need you to understand this. It says they were going around and they said, so it said when they come, even foreigners that reside in Israel separate themselves from me and set up idols in their heart. So what I mean there is he said in their heart. So it's not just setting them up. They're putting them in their heart. That means they're serving them. And put wicked stumbling blocks before the face and then go to the prophet and inquire of me. It says, the Lord will answer them myself. So he said, the Lord said, I will answer them myself. Now that's amazing because today's time, we have people prophesying every other day. They're calling you on the phone. Oh, by the way, hey, I got a word for you. I got a prophecy for you. But guess what? That prophecy never is about becoming established and making sure you serve your house of worship, making sure you get in lined up. No. Oh, by the way, you're going to get better. Everything is me, me, me. Instead of you serving, instead of you giving, guess what? When you give, you plant. And when you plant, you get growth. So they were coming to the prophet and they wanted to do it. They wanted to know what God wants them to do, wants to know the will of God. And God has said, don't tell them nothing. Tell them to come to me. If you mature as a person of God, you stop prophesying to everyone on every corner, on every day, and you haven't even straightened out your life. There's too much mess going on in your life to represent him. That's when Moses was on holy ground. He said, take your shoes off. This is holy ground. Before you go into the Holy of Holies, you got to get ready or you die in his presence. Church, don't you want to get to the next level? I want to be progressive. Hallelujah. I was a young teenager preaching the gospel even as a kid. And I sat and waited until God said, go forward. I didn't make it about me. I served under my father's ministry for years, over 40 years. So you can't come to me and tell me, oh, pastor, I need to do that. Oh, you gotta. I know how to sit and grow. Because then you'll learn how to sow. We are counseling people that lives are straight up mess and wickedness. And they would dare prophesy in the name of God. And you dare listen to it and agree with it. The people of God, guess what? The world can see a fraud, but the church can't because it's spewing out things from the Bible. The world can tell that person is no good and crooked. And you up there sitting there agreeing with it. So God said to you, if they come to you, the prophet, check this out. And I need you to get, and then it says, and then they go to the prophet and inquire of me. And the Lord answered, said, I will do it myself. Okay. Now the thing is, it says, I remove them from my people. And I want you to get this. It says, I, the Lord, will answer them myself. And I will set my face against them. Someone say against them. And right here, and make them an example by my word. So God is saying he's going to make them an example. And I will remove them from my people. And then they will know that I am the Lord. So God said, I will remove them. So even in the growth of the body, God told me, stop worrying about the numbers. I'm removing people because I'm ready to grow. You ever see a plant that's in a garden, you know, full of weeds? You got to remove stuff to grow because they're taking the same soil and they're taking the same nutrients and they're taking up some of it. So the things that need to grow in your life, guys, we have to remove something. How many say that with me? I need to remove something. This is important because I want you to know that God is trying to do something. In the 9th verse, it says, and if the prophet is enticed to utter a prophecy, someone said enticed to utter a prophecy, I the Lord have enticed that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from among the people of Israel, and they will bear their guilt, and the prophet will be as guilty as the one who consulted them. So you, men and women of God, that prophesying over people, you know, and God tell you, that person has no relationship with me. Are you prophesying over their life? You better tell them to come to me. See, this is what I'm trying to get y'all to see. They're supposed to go to him. And what God is saying is the church is not going to him. And guess what? We're so messed up now, we don't fear talking in the name of the Lord. So we just say everything. And oh, yeah, God showed me this morning not to work. I got not to work, Gene. God said, I don't have to work no more. And I got the Holy Ghost. God said to me not to do this. And then all of a sudden you get to the house of God and you got to do something for the Lord. Oh, I can't do that because I'm tired. Like you were listening to the Lord when he said don't work. But you can't listen to the Lord when he says straighten out your attitude. You can't listen to the Lord when he said sow into the kingdom so that you will grow in the kingdom. You can't listen to the Lord when he says shut your mouth and learn to live by faith. You can't listen to the Lord when he said don't prophesy to no one, just grow. Come on, somebody. I told you it's going to get hot in here. God is ready to do something among the people. We are all caught into ourselves, even the president. Oh, I this and I that. How about Jesus? What do we give to him? Give God some praise. God is all about making. He is not about breaking. So you got to get ready to smile, church. Hey. I don't know about you. Are you getting a word this morning? Give God some praise then. This is supposed to be a house of praise. So you're supposed to come with some praise. You should come into the house and say, Lord, I'm throwing this idols. I'm giving up these idols because I want to be the best. These kids play so much ball. Guess what? They're too tired to really get that good. They don't work on the things that make them great. Think about it. If you play a game all day, you don't grow. You got to take the time to sow into the things you need growth in. This is not the generation today. The generation today is, oh, no, just go do it. Just go do it. Don't really work at it. You can't grow anything, people, if you don't do it God's way. Don't you know that every certain so many years, the soil that you're sowing to plant in has to have rest? If you continue to sow into that soil, after a while, that soil needs time too. So the farmers have to say to themselves, don't plant here. We got to take a couple years off over here. Let's plant over here. They have enough sense to do that, and we don't have enough sense to do it with our children and their growth in their life. God is saying these idols are taking his place. And so now they're growing up not knowing how to serve God. Who's knocking at your door saying don't show up at church? Who's knocking at your door saying don't go to the man or woman of God? Go to these false prophets because you need an answer. And that's what they're doing. Think about it like this. Hey, I need an answer. Hey, Sister Joan, what do you think? What's the Lord telling you? Oh, I need an answer. Oh, brother Mac, I want to know what the Lord's telling you. Oh, let me go to this revival around the corner because I heard this pastor prophesies all the time. I want to get in his face, so he prophesied to me. And God was saying, tell that prophet that I'm going to kick him out. I'm going to destroy them. He said, I don't care who it is. If the prophet is enticed to utter a prophecy, the Lord will deal with that prophet. So I want you, church, to grow spiritually. Do you want meat? Do you want to grow? Hallelujah. So you don't want to be popping in and out. You want to stay planted and let God do something with your life so that later on you have a progressive life.
Amen, amen. A progressive life. I pray that you enjoy the message today and that it moved you and touched your heart. Please come visit us at 1850 Elm Street, Manchester, New Hampshire. Service time is 10 a.m. We have a special project this year. We're starting our fundraiser. So get the word out and please send an offering our way saying building fund. You can send it to 1850 Elm Street. Make it out to House of Praise, NEP. Bless you. Or you can also go to our website. Check us out on houseofpraisenep.org and you can make a contribution online as well. We hope that you continue to bless this ministry. Bless you.